This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Pounding the panhandle. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, October 11. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Michael carved a path of destruction along parts of the Florida Gulf Coast as it roared ashore as a Category 4 storm. We'll take you there for an update.
Rough day for stocks with all three major indexes down at least 3%. Hear why investors are spooked.
The operator of the limo company involved in a deadly crash in upstate New York has been charged with criminally negligent homicide.
And one of President Trump's next big personnel decisions, filling Brett Kavanaugh's spot on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals.
The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is this really unique court. It's known not only for the cases that reach it, but also the career trajectory of those who sit on its bench.
Lydia Wheeler at The Hill on the importance of a seat on the D.C. Appeals Court. One of the most powerful storms ever to strike the U.S. toppled houses, snapped trees, and ripped down power lines along the Florida Panhandle. Hurricane Michael, a Category 4 when it made landfall near Mexico Beach, Florida yesterday, ranked as the strongest storm to hit the region since at least 1851. It had max winds of 155 miles an hour as it came ashore. More than 400,000 people were without power. Officials issued orders urging about 375,000 residents to evacuate, but Michael left some residents with little time to prepare. Panama City Beach resident Colleen Schwab was one of them.
I thought the roof was going to come off. So when we came outside and saw that the trees were down and we saw the fence was down, we just knew that we were very lucky. I don't suggest trying to ride out a storm.
Panhandle residents face the risk of life-threatening flooding with a storm surge of nearly 8 feet above ground level in Apalachicola. The storm was also expected to drop more than a foot of rain in parts of three states. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples helps you keep your ink stocked and your business moving all year long. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner, so you'll find your ink in stock every time and at a low price every day. Staples, it's pro time. Big losses for stocks. The Dow Industrials lost 832 points yesterday. That's more than 3%. The selling was spearheaded by the technology shares that have led much of this year's advance in stocks, with Netflix down 8.4%. Amazon off 6.2%, and Apple losing 4.6%. Bank stocks were also battered, along with companies exposed to global trade like Caterpillar. Investors turned to shares deemed likely to do better in tougher economic times, such as utilities companies. Teddy Weisberg is a trader with Seaport Securities.
Clearly, the market has been telling us that there are issues for weeks, if not months, as the market internals have been deteriorating almost on a daily basis.
When asked about the decline, President Trump said, quote, "The Fed has gone crazy." The Fed's more restrictive stance has unsettled investors. The Wall Street Journal says also on their minds, fears that a strong economy will lead the Fed to rate increases that hurt stocks and trade tensions between the U.S. and China that appear to be worsening. The operator of the limousine company involved in a deadly upstate New York crash that took 20 lives has been charged with criminally negligent homicide. 28-year-old Naaman Hussein, an operator of Prestige Limousine, is the son of the owner and helps run the company when his father is unavailable. The father currently is in Pakistan. New York State Police Superintendent George Beach says Mr. Hussein was issued written violations that required the stretch limo involved in the crash be taken out of service and was told that the man who drove it did not have the required certifications to operate the vehicle.
The sole responsibility for that motor vehicle being on the road on Saturday rests with Naaman Hussein.
Lee Kindlin, a lawyer for Mr. Hussein, says the charges came as a surprise given a continuing investigation into the cause of the crash. Investigators with the National Transportation Safety Board are still trying to determine what caused the wreck last Saturday in the small town of Schoharie. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley's surprise announcement to resign by the end of the year has sent shockwaves across Washington's foreign policy landscape. Who will President Trump nominate next? Washington Times national security editor Guy Taylor says foreign diplomats are already speculating that the president is bent on naming someone who'll take his America First agenda toward the United Nations to heights that even Ms. Haley may have balked at. Guy, what are you hearing?
It looks as if President Trump made a kind of sudden decision this week to accept a Haley resignation because there's a desire by John Bolton, the national security advisor, to try and put a hardliner in this position, somebody with a unilateral perspective who will push back, similar to the way that Haley did, but perhaps even harder at the very multilateral United Nations. And the feeling within the administration is that if the Democrats win the midterms and retake the majority in the Senate, it's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get such a hardliner confirmed by the Senate. The idea is get it done now before the end of the year, and that's why the ball suddenly moved very quickly on Haley.
All right, so we've seen a couple of names come to the surface, like Nina Powell, Grinnell, the ambassador to Germany, right?
With those guys, are really, in terms of really serious possibilities, those are the two right now. Nina Powell served, she's born in Egypt. She's a Goldman Sachs banker. The idea is that when she served actually under Trump as deputy national security advisor during Trump's first year in office, that she actually got along really well with Jared Kushner. And so, there's a big question, however, over the extent to which John Bolton, who came in as national security advisor after Nina Powell had left at the start of 2018, Powell, remember, had worked under H.R. McMaster, not Bolton. And there are questions about whether or not Bolton would really accept her up at the UN or whether he wants Grinnell. Grinnell is currently the ambassador to Germany, and he has a long history with John Bolton when he was an up-and-comer in the early 2000s. Mr. Grinnell actually worked under Bolton in the UN mission when Bolton was George W. Bush's UN ambassador. So behind the scenes, it would appear as if Bolton will push for Grinnell, but we'll see. It's a guessing game, as it always is with this administration.
We're speaking with Guy Taylor, national security team leader at the Washington Times. He's got a piece entitled "Trump Set on Taking America First to Next Level at UN." He's been speaking with some diplomats. Nikki Haley's shoes, will they be difficult to fill?
Absolutely. You're not going to find many people on either sides of the aisle who don't feel that Nikki Haley did a pretty incredible job at the UN. Yeah, ideologically, she overall was aligned with the Trump administration's very aggressive push, a very pro-Israel, withdraw American funding from aspects of the UN that include member states that aren't putting up funding, that criticize Israel. She stood hard on Iran. She worked behind the scenes really well on convincing Russia and China on the Security Council to get behind the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign and pass a Security Council on North Korea, and pass a Security Council resolution that pretty much brought the most severe sanctions against North Korea ever early last year. So the issue is that Haley also had a lot of friction with foreign diplomats who have a big distaste for this very America-first approach of the Trump administration. So I think you put somebody in there who's not as smooth as Nikki Haley is. Nikki Haley obviously had executive experience. She's a former governor. Yeah. So she's really a pro when it comes to working rooms and getting along with people who might totally disagree with her platform. You put somebody in who's a little bit less experienced or throws elbows a little too sharply, and the whole mission becomes useless because people will say, look, you're just pushing this rampantly unilateral approach of the Trump administration, and you're not even nice. So I think that it is a tricky position to fill, and it's also a key spot in the administration.
Thanks, Guy. Guy Taylor, Washington Times National Security Editor. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Putting the most powerful hurricane on record to hit Florida's panhandle left wide destruction and at least two people dead, Florida Governor Rick Scott.
We are deploying a massive wave of response. We will be sending help from air, land, and sea.
The storm isn't nearly finished as it crosses Georgia, now as a tropical storm toward the Carolinas, Georgia Governor Nathan Deal.
We know that there's still going to be a considerable amount of damage from the wind and also from the flooding that is going to be associated with the rain.
The storm menacing the southeast with heavy rains, blustery winds, and possible spin-off tornadoes. Technology and internet stocks have led the way for much of Wall Street's bull market run. Now these high-flying stocks are at the forefront of a wave of selling as investors fret about interest rates. Those jitters gave the NASDAQ, which has a high concentration of tech companies, the biggest loss in more than 2 years yesterday. President Trump commented after the Dow's 832-point skid.
I think the Fed has gone crazy. So you could say that, well, that's a lot of safety, actually, and it is a lot of safety. And it gives you a lot of margin. But I think the Fed has gone crazy.
The sell-off continued overnight in Asian markets. Under pressure from Congress, the Trump administration faces a dilemma. How to respond to the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi while ensuring that any punitive action does not alienate Riyadh, a key ally against Iran. Leading senators have already made their displeasure clear, with Senator Bob Corker telling Reuters, "You can't go around killing journalists." Nearly a quarter of the Senate's calling for a U.S. investigation into the case. Passengers are aboard the world's longest flight, a marathon 19 hours in the air between Singapore and New York. Two pilots, a special wellness menu, and more than 7 weeks' worth of film and TV entertainment are accompanying travelers on the 10,400-mile journey to the Big Apple. The Singapore Airlines cabin has higher-than-normal ceilings, larger windows, and lighting designed to reduce jet lag, all part of an effort to lessen the stresses of spending almost an entire day on a plane.
Wow. Wow. Bring the kids.
I don't think I'd want to take that flight.
19 hours with the higher ceilings. Okay. I think I might actually just want to do that by myself so I wouldn't have to hear like my family complaining or getting fidgety. Yeah. You know, I could do that myself.
That's a tough one.
Wow. That's a lot of movies and wine. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By at least one count, more than 700 moms die in childbirth each year, and an estimated 50,000 suffer life-threatening complications. With that in mind, the March of Dimes has launched a new social and video advocacy campaign called #BlanketChange. Details from Stacey Stewart, president of the March of Dimes. Stacey, set this up.
We have some of the worst rates of maternal mortality and morbidity of any country in developed country in the world. In fact, it makes us the most dangerous developed nation in the world in which to give birth. And there's something we can do about it. We want to make sure that first everyone's aware that we have this urgent health challenge, but that there's something we can all do together. The first thing we can do is to make sure that our members of Congress, in advance of the midterm elections, really understand that this is an urgent health crisis and that they have a responsibility and a role in addressing it. We want every member of Congress, we want everyone to tweet their member of Congress or the Republican or the Democrat running against them to demand, ask them to stand for blanket change for moms and babies. We need to make sure that there is legislation that is passed, and there is legislation pending in Congress right now that would actually review many of these cases of maternal mortality, understand why women die or are dying as a result of childbirth, and more importantly, design interventions that can save more lives. And that's really the most important thing with what we're trying to do with the campaign today, blanket change.
All right. Why is it happening at such a high rate?
Well, there could be a number of reasons. First of all, there are many more women that are getting pregnant later in life, which means that many of those women could be experiencing more chronic health challenges. But even if they are, we need to make sure that women, before they're pregnant, have access to adequate health insurance, health care. We still have 10 million women in this country who lack basic health insurance, and therefore it makes it much more difficult for them to address their health needs before they're pregnant. We know the healthier the women are before they're pregnant, the more likely they are to have a healthier pregnancy and childbirth. So the issue of the continuum of health care for women before they're pregnant, during pregnancy, and afterwards is really important.
I'm speaking with Stacey Stewart, president of the March of Dimes. They got a new advocacy campaign called #BlanketChange. I think a lot of the problems, too, I'm not saying all of them, but stem from like hospitals failing to do a lot of the basics correctly when it comes to women who come in to have babies. I mean, how much of an issue do you see that as?
So there's two things. One is an access issue. Are there even hospitals available? Are there even doctors that are available close to where women live? But the second issue is one that you've rightfully raised, which is there have been reports that maybe up to 60% of these cases of maternal mortality are avoidable, meaning that even when they do show up at hospitals or their healthcare providers, those women have to have their needs met, and they need healthcare that is going to address their needs when they are experiencing those challenges. And this means that we have to do a better job by women. We have to make sure that hospitals are trained and prepared to deal with crisis situations that women may be experiencing.
Stacey Stewart, president of the March of Dimes. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Look into any great business, whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them, and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, October 11. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Michael downgraded to a tropical storm but left its mark on the Florida panhandle. Miserable day for stocks. Harvey Weinstein in court today regarding sex assault charges against him. A judge will rule on efforts to have charges dismissed. Trump and Kanye have lunch this afternoon. Giants and Eagles in Thursday night football. Today is National Sausage Pizza Day. And competing reporters helping each other in a hurricane. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. With the successful confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, legal minds are starting to buzz about who could replace him on the nation's second most powerful court. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is known not only for the cases that reach it, but also for being a pipeline to the Supreme Court. More from Lydia Wheeler, legal affairs reporter at The Hill. Lydia, what's up here?
The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is this really unique court. It's known not only for the cases that reach it, but also the career trajectory of those who sit on its bench. It's known as the second most powerful court in the country. It has had the Chief Justice John Roberts, Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Clarence Thomas, and the late Justice Antonin Scalia all ascended from the D.C. Circuit to the Supreme Court.
Wow. What are some of the names who are being floated right now as potential replacements for Kavanaugh?
Right. So my sources are telling me that this administration is going to look for somebody who's really steeped in administrative law, because this is a court that hears kind of regulatory or challenges to the regulations that the federal agencies issue, as well as separation of powers issues. So basically, it handles anything that's any of the administration's actions that are being challenged. Those are the cases that it hears. So my sources are actually saying that Trump's regulatory czar, Naomi Rao, could be on the short list. She is the administrator of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, and she's been really instrumental in helping Trump meet his goal on cutting down regulation.
We're speaking with Lydia Wheeler, legal affairs reporter at The Hill. She's got a piece called Trump Faces New Decision on Second Most Powerful Court, talking about the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, where Brett Kavanaugh left when he joined the Supreme Court. How eager, by the way, would the Trump administration be to fill this? Is this something, is it a race against the clock, say, ahead of the November midterms?
I don't know how quickly they're going to look to fill us. They've kind of been a little bit slower. I think that their main focus was on the Supreme Court, and now that that's done, we haven't heard any name yet. They haven't filled that seat yet or nominated anybody. So not sure how quickly we'll see this. And, you know, this also leads to the question of if they do put someone ahead of the midterms, whether or not the Senate would have time to get them confirmed. It's unlikely that they would because all the senators will be leaving soon to go back to their home states to get ready for the midterms. So, you know, and then we have, you know, what happens in the midterms could really shake up this seat because this could be a seat that's held open for a long time, especially if Democrats take control of the Senate.
You wrote, too, that the D.C. Circuit Court differs from other federal appeals courts in the types of cases it hears. How come? Explain that.
Right. So this is a court that exclusively it has the special responsibility of reviewing lawsuits challenging federal government actions and decisions. So that means it resolves constitutional questions involving separations of power issues and challenges to agency rulemakings. So, you know, kind of any time like an agency action is challenged, it goes directly to that court.
Very good. And it's the balance right now, at least politically, would be, what is it, like 7 Democrats, 3 appointed by Republicans, something like that?
That's right. So this is a court that is, most of its judges have been appointed by Democrats. Justice Kavanaugh was a Republican appointee, and he moved on to the Supreme Court. So his replacement, who would likely be nominated by Trump, would be another conservative judge. So this, whoever replaces him isn't going to change the ideological balance of the court in any way. It's one conservative for another. So this is a waiting game now, just kind of waiting to see who the administration decides to pick, and also kind of who throws their hat in the ring. I think that this is something that legal circles are going to be paying attention to, and could get more attention moving forward, just because this court is so instrumental. And I don't think people realize the types are how instrumental it really is. All of the special prosecutor Robert Mueller's investigations, all those charges stemming from that investigation, will be handled by this court.
Thanks, Lydia. Lydia Wheeler, legal affairs reporter at The Hill. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're looking to motivate local citizens to help you capture a burglar, offering up free steak sounds like a pretty good way to do it. That's what's happening in Raymond, New Hampshire, where a restaurant is offering free steak tips to anyone with tips on a recent burglary at their location. And this robbery wasn't small potatoes. Police say a man broke into the Tuckaway Tavern and Butchery around 1:30 a.m. Tuesday and stole more than $25,000. The man was captured on surveillance video entering the closed restaurant with a crowbar, and a restaurant manager says one of their safes was broken into. The restaurant said in a Facebook post that it's offering a $2,000 cash reward and free steak tips for the duration of the burglar's sentence to anyone who helps police catch the man. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Raymond Police.
Whoa.
See, when I first started to go through this, I'm like, oh, they're going to offer, you know, a free meal or something, basically. No, free steak tips for the entire duration of the burglar sentence, which at $25,000, if they capture him, it's going to be a while.
Right. You can see citizens like showing up on sentencing day, pressing the judge for like 40 years, please.
Right.
40 years for a burglary.
Yes. We've never seen a lobby like this before.
Wow.
Looking to get the free steak.
But that's a ton of money taken from a tavern.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that they had that there. You wouldn't think they would have that much on site. Most businesses don't keep that kind of cash on site, so I'm kind of curious why that was the case.
Did it say whether it was just like all cash or like valuable equipment or something? Or
it appears to be cash, and you might think then this might be, you know, an inside job kind of situation. Somebody who knew they had that kind of money there, because who else would go to a restaurant thinking that they'd get that kind of score?
Especially
right?
the way we swipe our plastic these days.
Yes,
having that much cash on hand would seem strange.
Well, here's hoping that this burglar makes it down to New Jersey, because I'm hungry for some steak.
Okay.
And many of us have learned, Gordon, in recent years that it's dangerous to go on a shopping spree when you've had too much to drink. Few of us, however, have ever drunk purchased a hotel. That's what apparently happened to a London couple last year. According to Fox News, during their three-week backpacking trip in December of 2017, Gina Lyons and Mark Lee hit it off with some of the staff members at a rustic beachfront hotel in Sri Lanka. Later, after drinking 12 glasses of rum, they found out that the lease was almost up on the hotel, so they agreed to take it over for three more years, which cost almost $40,000. The couple said they were buzzed for the remainder of the conversations regarding details of the purchase, which, it should also be noted, took place in another language, requiring friends to translate for them. But after making this big financial decision, the couple panicked when they found out they were expecting a child. After sobering up and settling down, they decided to try to make it work, and after $8,000 in renovations, they reopened the Bed and Breakfast in July, and business is said to be booming. Nevertheless, they insist that their next big decision will be made sober.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, how amazing is it that the sort of end of that story is, you know, they open the place and business is booming.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I was expecting when I first started reading that, but good for them.
Holy cow. What'd you do on your vacation?
Yeah.
Got drunk, bought a B&B in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
How about you? Man, thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us. When Hurricane Michael made landfall as a Category 4 storm, it brought 155-mile-an-hour winds. Storm surges, of course, flash floods and heavy rains. But news of this coming disaster also brought charities and volunteers to the scene to help with immediate rescues and long-term recovery. CNN says you can assist these efforts in a number of ways. If you're in the hurricane's path or had to evacuate, you can let friends and family know that you're safe through the American Red Cross Safe and Well page and Facebook's Safety Check on their Hurricane Michael Crisis Response page. Both of these tools can also be used to check on people you know in the area. Community blood centers in the region are urging the public to donate. All blood types are needed, along with platelet and plasma donors. The not-for-profit blood center One Blood can be found in almost all of the counties in Florida. And LifeSafe, which serves hospitals in Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, provides an online tool to find a donor center or mobile drive near you. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, after Hurricane Michael made landfall, lashing the Florida Panhandle and Georgia, communities have been left to deal with the life-threatening conditions and unprecedented impacts. Nearly a Category 5 storm with maximum sustained winds of 155 miles per hour when it hit near Mexico Beach in Florida, Michael traveled northeast, decreasing to a tropical storm. Franklin County Sheriff A.J. Smith says he and his fellow Floridians have their work cut out.
Catastrophic damage here. There's trees everywhere. Roads are underwater. DOT, National Guard, they're going to have a hard time getting in here until some of these roads are, until we assess them and see if they can even travel across them.
Rainfall may cause life-threatening flash floods in Georgia, the Carolinas, and Virginia. New York State Police have arrested the son of the owner of the limousine company involved in the crash that left 20 people dead about 40 miles outside Albany last weekend. Naaman Hussein, whom police described as the company's operator, has been charged with criminally negligent homicide for his role in the fatal incident. New York State Police Superintendent George Beach.
Hussein, the operator of Prestige Limo in Saratoga County, was issued written violations by the New York State Police and the New York Department of Transportation that the driver he hired should not have been operating the type of vehicle involved in Saturday's crash.
Police took Hussein into custody after a controlled traffic stop on an interstate highway. Patients whose mysterious symptoms have stumped other experts are getting a new chance at diagnosis through a network of hospitals that tackles the rarest of rare diseases. It's called the Undiagnosed Diseases Network, set up by the National Institutes of Health. Researchers with the network have published a snapshot of their early findings. In less than 2 years, doctors have discovered 31 new syndromes. Well, if you've always wanted to own a moon rock, here's your chance to get one. A 12-pound lunar meteorite discovered in northwest Africa last year is up for auction and could sell for $500,000 or more during online bidding that runs from today until October 18th. The lunar rock, called one of the most important meteorites available for acquisition anywhere in the world today, was found last year in a remote area but probably plunged to Earth thousands of years ago.
That's pretty cool.
And it should be in a museum.
Yeah. If I'm putting up that kind of money, too, I want proof.
I'm sure you'll get it.
Not somebody chiseling at it with a pickaxe or something.
Yeah, right.
You know what? Let's call this a moon rock and sell it. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore led a helping hand to an NBC News reporter who was in danger of being knocked off his feet due to the powerful winds from Hurricane Michael. NBC News correspondent Kerry Sanders was in Panama City Beach, Florida, as the storm made landfall nearby yesterday afternoon. The hurricane was a powerful 4 storm at the time, boasting sustained maximum winds of 155 miles an hour, as you've heard. But there were wind gusts that were even stronger than that. At one point, the wind threatened Mr. Sanders' balance, and video of that moment shows Mr. Cantore walking over and guiding Mr. Sanders over to a pillar before he scrambled inside for safety. He later tweeted photos of himself and Mr. Cantore with a battered helmet, saying it helped prevent a concussion. Mr. Sanders wrote, "Thank you. You've taught me again. Backup support always needed." For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.